So just befriend the weak. And break another heart this
And welcome to This Week in Wrestling, Indies and International, and I'm Pete, and I'm with Tim. Tim, man, what's going on?
Same old, feeling a little under the weather after taking a week off from the podcast. It really feels like 2 weeks, because we have that special kind of NXT TakeOver only review, but a little under the weather, coming out of it, feeling pretty good, though. It's been raining in Los Angeles, which is nice. We need the rain, obviously, but how you been, Pete?
Pretty good. I just got back from the wrestling trip, and I'll go into detail about that later on. But, man, it's getting hot here in Texas. It's like freaking 85 right now. Now, man, someone said it might go up to 90 today, which is just nuts because it's been pretty chilly leading into this. But, hey, that's besides the point. We have a special guest, man. We have Dan Scotty of Pizza Party Wrestling coming to New Jersey Mania Week, the Wednesday. What's the exact date, Dan?
It's Wednesday, April 3rd.
April 3rd, and I got tickets, but, you know, I'm not even driving, so I just show up and people take me places. So, Dan, man, and we're excited to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks, man. I'm going to fire off some questions at you.
Ready for them.
What's your background in wrestling and stuff?
So, it's more in the media side of things. Like, I got into, well, I've been a wrestling fan for the last, like, 13 years, and through being a fan on the internet, you come into contact with people, and I started coming into contact with people that were wrestlers, and I started podcasting and came into contact with Tim that way, and started writing for Wrestling with Words and Daily DDT, and eventually started to realize I didn't see myself writing about wrestling anymore. I saw myself creating wrestling. So I came up with this idea called Pizza Party Wrestling, and sort of just a pipe dream a year and a half ago, and now here we are, Mania Week. We're launching this thing. We're going guns a blazing at it.
How does it feel to make that transition? Because I do it all the time where I fantasy book shows, or me and Tim are reviewing shows, I really get it. Me and Tim both get into the newish of booking the show. Why you booked this show? Why the promoter might should have booked this match here instead of here? How does that feel to make that transition to where you're the one calling the shots and stuff?
It's pretty wild to go from just like, yeah, writing a, you know, 500 word piece about how you'd fantasy book a Rumble to, okay, now you're running a show. And the thing that got the ball off the ground was us realizing we could put Daniel Makabe and Fred Yehi in a match, which is a match I've wanted to see. It's a match the other people involved with the show have wanted to see. And once we saw on paper that we could do that, we said, okay, what else could we come up with? And it's pretty much the last 2 months have been every day I've been showing somebody a new card and they're like, I thought you finalized it yesterday. It's a lot of fun because you were fantasy booking in real life. And the thing that I don't think wrestling fans don't understand is there are so many moving parts to putting a card together, making sure that certain people, you know, the guys that you are going to be your regular guys are going to have an opportunity where they can get over. And I don't think that's a part of wrestling that many fans sort of consider. You like who you like. And It makes you respect even what goes on in WWE every week a little bit more when you see how much stuff has to go into putting together one card.
Yeah, I've been talking to some of them. Like, I was just on a wrestling trip, and I went to Action and SUP, and they had, like, their shows would kind of blow up on both parts because they were using a lot of the same talent. Guys decided to quit the wrestling business out of nowhere. And one of the guys just came from the Performance Center, and which is, you know, you think that the next step type thing, and then a month later, he's quit the business, and things can blow up. Have you had things, anything blow up in your face quite yet, or has everything been running pretty smooth?
Things have been running pretty smooth, and if they have blown up in my face, maybe I haven't realized that they've blown up in my face yet, but for the most part, everything has gone smoothly, and I'm just lucky that that's how that's gone so far. I think that's all just sort of beginner's luck that things have gone off without a hitch, so I'm fortunate enough for that.
Do you think that helps that you have access to a lot of the wrestlers? They're all going to be there, and where it would be hard just to no-show unless someone signs a contract or what have you, which I understand. But it feels like every wrestler who is as worth a salt on anything is down, is going to be down in the New York, New Jersey, Philadelphia area. Do you think that helps for things not blowing up in your face, maybe?
Almost definitely, yeah, because I think at any minute where something can turn wrong, there have been the response from people wanting to become part of Pete's Party Wrestling has been pretty overwhelming, and it's been pretty cool. So, you know, assuming something blows up in my face, there's a bunch of people who would, I think, you know, jump at the opportunity to be part of Mania Weekend, and we would be happy to have them. So I'm not hoping things blow up in our face, but if they do, I guess we're ready for it.
Here's a question, which I'm pretty sure I know the answer, but I had a buddy of mine, when we bought tickets, the first question to him was, is the pizza free? I'm sure it's not.
It's not free, but it's not going to be like an arm and a leg. We're still obviously working out price and stuff like that to make sure that, because at the end of the day, we want it to have a party feel. We don't want it to feel like we're extorting you, getting you in and, you know, making you buy a $7 slice of pizza like other venues, most sports venues do. We're not trying to do that. We're trying to make it fun and, you know, cost effective for everybody. We're trying to make money, but also yeah, trying to let you guys go in and not spend all your money the first day on three slices of pizza.
On that same tip, though, Dan, I mean, you know what goes with pizza is something that me and you have talked about extensively in the past, which is beer, brews. So what's the alcohol beer situation going to be like at the show?
So as of right now, and I'm trying to work this out, as of right now, it's just what the facility has on hand with their bar. So I think it's mostly domestic beer, but I have spoken to a brewery about being at the show, and I guess I need to I still have a little bit of time to figure it out, but I'm trying to get them to at least have some of their beer there because these guys are big wrestling fans, so it would be really cool if we could have them as part of it.
Cool. Hey, now, what's the venue like anyway? I've never been there, so I have no clue.
So it's a pretty prominent, you know, Northern New Jersey wrestling venue. I think at capacity would hold about 250 people, you know, with the ring and everything included. It's got a pretty distinct look because the walls are lined with these like neon lights. So not many other wrestling venues, I feel like, have that little extra touch going for them. So I think it's a cool venue. Pro Wrestling Magic runs out of there pretty much monthly. I know this other local company, ECPW, ran a show there a few weeks ago. So it's a couple people have run shows out of there. So it's like a prominent wrestling venue in Northern New Jersey would be the best way to put it.
Okay, now the card, it seems to really be shaping up. I mean, we've already talked about Freddie A. High versus Dan McAbee, and that's striking me as kind of like your NWA old title match where these guys can really go on the mat. They're great strikers. Both of them can actually do anything. And then you have like your street fight. Then I see you have your elimination tag match, and then you have your kind of your comedy match. So it seems like it's a pretty diverse card. Is that something you're trying to do where you get a little bit of like the, you know, I've always been a fan of the three-ring circus mentality when it comes to wrestling, where I can get burnt out on an all grappling thing, even though I think like WXW when they do their Ambition or Bloodsport that Josh Barnett's running. I mean, I find that stuff fascinating, and for an hour and a half, I think it's great, but sometimes the shows go a little too long, and they're just doing one style can be kind of boring. Were you going for the Big Ring Circus? You know, the clowns, the flying trapeze, the gorillas, the animals, and whatnot.
Absolutely, yeah. I was going for there's something like the thesis statement, like for what sort of got Pizza Party from just idea into reality was that there's something in wrestling for everybody and they don't know it. So the idea was let's introduce pizza to try and help people who might be on the fence or think that there's nothing in wrestling for them. And we sort of put together a card that had a little bit of everything. So yeah, there is that comedy match. There's the, you know, the super technical match that will likely be what Dan and Fred do. And we've got that street fight that's going to push people towards, you know, the more hardcore. So yeah, there's a little bit of something for everybody on this card was what we were trying to do.
As the promoter, what's the match you're most looking forward to? Or can you not say that without people giving you dirty looks?
It's funny because there's so much stuff on this show that I'm looking forward to. Like, there's so many guys that I've known that are going to sort of be in a spotlight, like, that they haven't been in before, that I'm really excited to put them in those spots. There's a couple stuff we haven't announced yet. We're still I'm not finalizing things. We're filming vignettes and trying to help get characters over and stuff like that. So I can't say anything about who those people are. But for the most part, I think Makabe Yehai is just going to be insane. Like, I have no problem with letting those guys go for an hour because I know that the stuff that they can do is just going to be absolutely bananas. But there is something I'm very excited about that we'll probably announce next week that I can't say anything about just yet, but it involves Robbie Eagles, and it is going to be spectacular.
Nice, nice. Now, where did you come up with the Pizza Party name?
I think it was a joke the first time I said it out loud. I said, if I had a wrestling company, it would be called Pizza Party, because there's a lot of, you know, whatever championship wrestling, and I don't want to knock any of it, but for me, it's like, I just would come up with something that would stand out. So Pizza Party was the joke that I made, and then you know, you make a joke enough times and you're like, wait, that's not such a bad idea. And I've been sitting on the name for so long that I was worried when we announced it, people would just be like, what's this dumb old thing? And for the most part, it's been the opposite. People have been pretty excited just by the name alone. So it has made, you know, if you have an idea for so long, you start to beat it up and from every angle. But to see the response from people has made me feel pretty good about the name choice.
Yeah, you know, I'll be honest. When I first heard it, I kind of rolled my eyes, like, okay, what is this? But it actually makes sense because, hey, you're in New Jersey, and you know, they have a reputation of being pizza.
Yeah,
you're trying to have a fun vibe, and it's an easy way to brand yourself that people aren't going to forget you. You know, you're not a show that has three initials, and it could be WCW, it could be WWA. You know, you don't know remember what you're talking about. But when you say the Pizza Party show, it's definitely something that people – it stands out. And it really helps when you're trying to have to stand out from a pack and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. That's I never wanted – and, like, I don't want Pizza Party to become an acronym. I just want people to refer to it as Pizza Party because I think if – just from, you know, a name recognition standpoint, if you can just say Pizza Party and someone know what you're talking about, then it would be pretty cool to change that association with that word with professional wrestling.
How have ticket sales gone? I think you guys have been on sale now for about two, maybe a little over a week or two.
I think it's been 2 weeks. They've been pretty good. I think being that it's a first show, I think a few more people are really waiting to see what the whole card looks like before they commit. I mean, there's so much wrestling going on this week or during that week.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
I don't expect people to all jump immediately and say, oh, what's this thing? We're all going to see it. I think when you see the full fleshed out card and you see there is, you know, there's intergender wrestling, there's tag team wrestling, there's a little bit of hardcore, there's some comedy stuff, that there is something for everybody. I think that's when people will ideally move on tickets.
Yeah, I've always wondered. I've never really asked anybody about ticket sales over WrestleMania weekend on the indies, on where is what, or when do they really start picking up? Because I'm sure there is a, you know, people always, you know, people are still buying flights or knowing when trying to get off for work. So I think there's a lot. You have a big opportunity all the way up to the show to be selling tickets stuff.
And, exactly. Yeah.
And even a big walk up for all I know.
Yeah, it could be.
I'm sorry. What now?
Oh, I was going to say, I'm going to WrestleMania. I'm going to be at WrestleMania week, and I have bought tickets to nothing. So I can't get mad at anybody for not buying their ticket yet, because I haven't even bought my own. So
you see, I'm an anal retentive butcher, where I like to buy all my we've already bought all our tickets. I think Johnny P and I think we're at 8 shows right now for the days, and like, and honestly, I think we only have one really heavy day. I think that's Thursday, where we have 4 shows or what have you. But I mean, yeah, there's so much wrestling out there. Tim, well, any questions you want to throw out there besides the beer one?
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously a glaring thing to me was you got Robbie Eagles on the posters, and then you already mentioned that, you know, the maybe the last big announcement or another big announcement coming up is going to involve him. But, you know, so far the stuff that you do have announced is very exciting, I would say. I don't know. I'm realistically, I just want to chat about the matches that I'm excited about, but that's not, you know, necessarily the point of being here. Now, you mentioned kind of
part of it's hyping, man. It's hyping.
Yeah, right. But, you know, part of the thing you mentioned is kind of getting the name out there and having it become synonymous. So I didn't know if this was meant to be a one-off, or is the plan that it, you know, continues and that there's pizza party shows continuing after this?
Yes. This is definitely a thing we want to do more of. And especially like there's some people that have reached out to us that we just, you know, the card filled up. We had pretty much locked in the card before we announced the show. And then the sort of the response, we like opened a couple spots for and this and that. But ultimately, we definitely want to do more of them. We don't want to go every month, because being that it's a party, we don't want it to sort of run its course real fast. We want to keep it like a special occasion based thing. That's not to say that they're all sort of going to follow the, you know, where WWE ends up. We're going to keep them mostly local to New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania area, Tri-State area. But yeah, we're definitely planning on doing more.
Got it. Okay. So it's a bigger kind of, this is kind of a kickoff of the party, and you're going to kind of try to keep.
Yes. And there's another component to this, that was actually supposed to be the launching point for what Pizza Party was like for Pizza Party. And just because of scheduling conflicts, we didn't get it done, but we're planning the minute we wrap on our first show to start jumping into this other project.
Okay. And so one thing, I mentioned it when I was kind of talking about the show with Pete when he first, you know, talked about that he was going to be going, was kind of your background in fandom being, I don't know, a little bit more on the, not casual, but the lighter side. You know, famously, I think one of your favorite wrestlers of all time is the Great Khali, and, you know, kind of joking around and that stuff, from, you know, your amazing podcast, The Sports Entertainment Shrinks, that I miss every day, Dan.
R.I.P.
But so the one thing that kind of stands out, though, is Pete said it, like, you've got the 60-second Iron Man match between Dick Justice and Johnny Cockstrong. To me, that's like, that is a Dan Scotty match for sure. But then you've got what looks like the crown jewel of WrestleMania weekend for matches with Makabe versus Yehai. So, I mean, talk about your edict when it comes to that fandom, because I mean, you've got people booked here. Rory Gulak is a guy that I was going to kind of go off on, and probably even more next week on the show when we actually review one of his matches, but he feels like a standout guy right now with the scene in so much flux. He feels like a guy who's ready to pick up a lot of big spots. So do you feel like you have your ear to the hardcore wrestling fan enough? It seems like it based on who you're booking, but also casual enough and into the comedy side enough that you're booking probably the most interesting like mix of everything. Like, how do you keep that balance, and or is it just coming natural to you?
Well, I think I think the hardest part is to, because like there's been a couple names that have reached out to us and that we had on the drawing board, but when you look at like our long game for what we want to do with Pizza Party Wrestling, after a certain point we said like we can only book so many flippy guys, we can only book, so like, because we wanted to have that balance and we wanted our talent that's going to stick with us beyond Mania week to have the chance to really shine. And I think when you do something Mania week and there are all these names available, it's really hard to say no to certain things. Like, okay, we can't reach out to this person because at this point it just makes the other stuff not feel as special. I think that is probably what's helped make this so diverse is constantly obsessing over the balance has sort of helped round out the whole thing, knowing that okay, we really can't add any more of X to this card because it will make, you know, the rest of it not feel special, but it will. I don't want it to, like, I don't want people to say, like, oh, it's just a spot, you know, that Pizza Party Wrestling is all just a spot fest or it's all just chain wrestling. I want it, you know, I just want it to be wrestling, which is sort of everything.
Yeah, which, I, like I said, I think you're doing a great job of that. I mean, that street fight to me really stands out as something that is going to be super unique to Pizza Party. And I just, I don't know if I would have come up with it. Like, how do you put something like that together?
It's, that was a fun one that we put together. We, this guy from England, Sam Jude, that I've been friends with him for the last 4 years, a very good friend of mine, came up with, you know, like the likes of Will Ospreay, you know, they're good friends with him, and he's got, and never really wanted to pursue professional wrestling. And as time's gone on, he's sort of had the itch for it. And this is a guy I know is capable of working well with a guy like Rory and a guy like KTB, because he has, you know, he's well-versed in, you know, with technical stuff, but when it come, when push comes to shove, if he's got to get a little death match, he can. So it was just finding our guys and who they would work best against, and also bring, you know, bringing names that, realistically, why I love professional wrestling. Like, a lot of the names you see are people that when I go to indie shows that I am very excited to see, or that will pop me, you know, I'll watch sort of whatever they do. And it sounds a little marky, but really it's like, for me, it was like, okay, I want to bring in people that convey why I love wrestling. And if we can bring them in with talent we want to use down the line, we can sort of show the world why we love professional wrestling as a collective, to pardon the term. But that was sort of how all that came to be.
All right. Well, I guess the last thing I would have is just, you know, when we set this up, you had mentioned something about trying to drop some news. I don't know if that meant that you had, like, something in particular you wanted to say, or you just wanted to talk overall, but I'll give you the floor to, if there was any last things you wanted to mention about the show or anything in general.
At this moment, I'm just going to wait till we can announce things. So I don't have any official news. I was hoping to have some news about pizza and beer, but I'm still polishing things up with the venue. But just first off, thank you to anybody who's already bought a ticket. And I think this show is going to be a lot of fun. By no means would I tell you that it would be better, that it can be better than anything else on Mania. I think it can be, but I'm not going to sit here and guarantee that the show will be the best show of the week. But I think it's going to be a lot of fun if you're a professional wrestling fan. I think this is a show that you should come to. We have sort of every element of, you know, every style of match that you could want to see on a show. We're going to have pizza. We have comedian Dan St. Germain, who is a big wrestling podcaster, comedian, and writer, who's going to be doing commentary. It's just going to be a fun way to kick off the week. And that's really, it's just going to be a great time. That's really all I can say at this moment in time.
Yeah, I mean, I'll put over the about the very variety. I mean, Yehi Maccabee, I mean, that's the main event. The Dick Justice, that's not my cup of tea, but you know what? It's somebody else's cup of tea, and that's what you're going for. You're going for a little bit of everything, where everyone has something for them. It'd be people who like to see brawling, you have that. You have tag teams. Like you said, you're going to have some intergender. You're going to have a little bit of everything for everybody. And if you're going to be in the borough of the New Jersey, because it seems like you really, for the most part, from my friends anyway, who I've talked to, you're kind of picking an area where you're going to be. If you're going to be in the Jersey side, you're going to be going to the shows in Jersey. If you're in New York, you're hitting up the New York shows. So you kind of have to, I mean, you don't necessarily have to just be one or the other, but if you're picking the day, you're picking where you're going to be. And you know what? Wednesday, why don't you come to Pizza Party and check it out? Because you're going to get a wide variety of stuff. And it seems like a great way to kick off WrestleMania week.
It's going to be fun. And I think the most exciting thing, and I mentioned before we went on the air, is that the energy surrounding the show from the talent that's on it, everybody wants this to be something truly special. And I think it will convey when, you know, the lights are on and the show is off to the races there. I really think all the talent wants this to be really good. Everybody is really striving to kill it. And I'm very excited every time I talk to anybody about you know, what they're doing, their booking, anything. They're all extraordinarily ready to go. So, and it's the start. It's, we are the first one. We kick off at 7 o'clock. The other two shows that night start at 8. So we are the first piece of WrestleMania week. So I think everybody's going to be ready to go 110%.
And for people who aren't going to be down there, are you guys going to be able to stream this? Or are you guys going to record it and play it back later on like an independent TV or High Spots or something?
We're entertaining both options. We're more than likely going to have it up after the fact, but we're not against the idea of a live stream. If the demand is there for it, we'll do what we can to make that happen.
Awesome. Man, Dan, we appreciate you being on the show today.
Thank you guys for having me. It was fun. I'm glad I got to speak to Pizza Party beyond just posting tweets and stuff on social media. So I thank you guys for giving me the opportunity.
Anytime, man. We'll have you back. Hopefully when you get close to the show and you maybe remind people why you need to be there.
All right. That sounds good. Thank you very much.
Yeah. And before you go, I guess the last thing is just, you know, everyone, if you don't make it out there, I think Dan might have to mollywop you.
Oh, good throwback. Appreciate it.
All right, man. On this note, we're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
I like food. Food ain't good. I like food. Food ain't good. Juicy burgers, juicy fries. Too late, ain't about the size. Teen ain't good. What type of food? Got my way or all they do. I like food. Food ain't good. I like food. Food ain't good. Crimson's dying back and eating. I like food. Food ain't good. I like food. Food ain't good.
Yeah, so Tim, I just got back 2 days ago from my wrestling trip. And by God, it was a great, great, great wrestling trip. We started off with Action Wrestling in the morning. It was a special show, started like an hour show, hour and a half. It was for Make-A-Wish, and the kids' Make-A-Wish was to be in the wrestling business. So they did a 3 or 4 match card, and actually the Billy Buck match was really, really good. For a show that you're doing for Make-A-Wish, I was shocked at how well him and Bobby Flacco had a really good match, to the point where Flacco was working so hard he ended up goosing himself on the eye, giving himself a mouse, doing a dive and stuff, where you'd think the most important thing was be safe, be entertaining, but be safe. And it was so weird because it was, you know, it was the Make-A-Wish had the people there. They made all these great signs for the Make-A-Wish child's name was Supernova, was his gimmick name. And they had all these great signs and stuff. And, I mean, it was just really great atmosphere. And at first, everyone's cheering, even cheering the heels. But, like, even Billy Buck wasn't going to have anything for that. So he finds some little girl to, like, give him high five. And she swings in. Of course, he pulls his hand away. And immediately, these guys become heels. So they had Supernova. He got to cut promos. He got to be a manager. I think he joined Dylan twice on commentary, did some commentary. So all this is going to be on Powerbomb, be on Independent TV. Was that what they branded it now? Independent TIA Television?
Yeah, it's independent. I think it's independent television. Yeah. Okay. I should check that. I think it's, yeah, independent TV.
Yeah, so that's going to be up on there. And so he, so Supernova, he got to, you know, he did a commentary. He got to cut promos. He got in the ring and be a manager. He got to be a troubleshooter. And then the final part was they had him he got the big heel from Team Tag, Blue challenged him, and Blue like begged off and took a clothesline from him and ended up tapping out to him. Really, really great stuff. Great moment. And then they actually had a brand new gold belt made for him. And then they he went and signed autographs. And then we went to dinner, and we ran into him and his family at dinner because he was coming back to the regular show that evening, and we were calling him Champ and stuff, and so that was really neat. And then, like, on the next proper show, Stevie Richards was on it. And the kid, he got his name Supernova because he was a huge ECW fan. And so after Stevie's match, him and Stevie went and were watching wrestling in the back for a while. And so that's really neat. Even Stevie Richards put it over as one of his, this is like what's good in the wrestling business. And as a wrestling fan, I mean, I didn't have a direct link to it, but being in the crowd and being part of that moment, it made up for like all the scummy things in wrestling that I've seen or heard or you know, I mean, I've never been a part of it, obviously, but it just makes it one of the things that make you proud to be a wrestling fan. And then, you know, I'm sure in a couple of weeks there'll be something that I'm not proud to be a wrestling fan about. But then Action put on a really strong show. The Anthony Henry Slim J match was just utterly fantastic. Kane Justice and Jaden Newman as a tag team was tremendous. They had a really good match against AJ Gray and Rock and Roll. I bring out the
Rivera?
No, it was
Rock
and Rivera. Matt Sells, who cheated in a hot dog contest to get into the Scenic City Rumble. My friend Ben actually won it at the SCI tournament, and Matt Sells ended up eating Vienna sausages. That's another story, heel. They had a really good, fun tag match. The Carnies and Team Tag had a wild-ass brawl. AC Mack and Cam Carter had a good match. It just couldn't follow the Carnies match. Freddie Ahai got a bounty put on him, which I thought was great because, I mean, I'm pretty sure when we were fantasy booking, my fantasy booking of the feud was Yehi getting a bounty put on him. And they were going to have like a false count anywhere or some type of gimmick. And well, announcer, the next show is Yehi versus Eric Royal in a false count anywhere match. If we go back in the archives, I'm pretty sure that's the fantasy way I booked it. So, of course, I'm loving this program because it makes me they're on the same page I am and stuff. And they had a really good show. Action, I thought, was the best show of the weekend. We had the Scenic City, not Scenics, but Maggie Towns show. I think it was February Fracas. Had you gotta temper your expectations going in. They didn't have the talent they had for their first Making Towns Classic, but there was a lot of good talent on there, like Samantha Stone. We're gonna review her on the sub show. Have you ever seen her before that?
Is it Savannah Stone?
Savannah Stone? Savannah Stone.
She was on the first Making Towns Classic. I remember seeing her there. Oh, yeah. And I think maybe she's been on a PWX show, but I couldn't say for sure. But yeah, I've seen a little bit of her, but I thought that she was really good on the show we're going to review.
Yeah,
but,
agree. Yeah. Live, she's freaking tremendous. She needs to be booked everywhere and anywhere. She might be 18 years old, I think, or 19. She plays that mean girl thing where she's, you know, in the wrestling, she's pretty enough to pull it off type thing, where if you're going to play the mean girl, you got to be, you know, you got to be look like Lindsay Lohan. She's not Lindsay Lohan, but she, you know, she's pretty enough, but she just has the character stuff down. She projects herself really well. She wrestles like a heel. She came out as a second. I mean, she was the star of the show. She came out as a second for her tag partner, who isn't on her level, but I mean, she's, you know, she's green working at it. So that's the thing. You got to temper your stuff. You had her match was the best match on the show. And then they had Aja Pereira and Alley Cat in the main event. And they had a good one, good solid match. Those two were the things I would see watch from the show. The rest was there's a lot of greenness to them. You can see or girls with some potential. There was a Savannah Evans, Samantha Evans, I can't remember her name, but tall girl. I think she has a big upside to her. she was working with someone who was pretty green. And it was like an extended squash that just went too long. But for the most part, you stick to the top two matches of the show. It was really, really a good, real fun. You just got to temper it with, you know, that you're dealing with some of the talent you're not getting the cream of the crop like they had for, you know, you're not getting Jordan Grace, or you're not getting, you know, the Alley Cats. You're not getting
Kylie Rae,
Sue Young. Yeah, you're not getting Kylie Rae. You know, those type of names in it. So you got to look at what you got, and the top two matches delivered, and the other ones had you know, things that you can enjoy, but you can definitely pick apart it if you really wanted to. I'm sure I'm going to say it again. Savannah Stone, is that it?
Yeah, Savannah Stone.
Yeah, she's definitely worth the price of admission, and made me a big time fan. I mean, she drilled me and Johnny P with some insults at her. I don't want to say online because I'm afraid my mother would hear. No, just kidding. But she was very good at talking shit. Even got riled up this grandmother, which was just tremendous. Action. I mean, the sup. The Scenic City Rumble was freaking incredible. Really good show. Really, you know, it wasn't as good as Action, but it had some really good matches. I really liked Joey Lynch versus Slim J. I enjoyed the Rumble itself. I loved the finish of the Rumble. There was also some other good matches. Billy Buck and Serpentico was really good. Who else was there? It was Bobby Flacco and Serpentico was good. And Billy Buck versus a guy, I can't remember his name, was good. I wish it was a little longer, but it was well laid out and structured. That really stood out. But yeah, I thought Action was the better show, but there was a lot of stuff to really like at Scenic City Rumble, and I'm so glad I was able to go to all these shows, and I'm sure we'll review them, and so we'll go into more detail more closely. But I felt the Joey Lynch, Slim J was the match of the night. I felt kind of, I don't want to say ripped off, at the booking of the Carnies blow-off feud match. I don't want to be a spoiler. I don't want to lay spoilers till people see it. I'm sure people. I'm essentially happy with it, but I still feel kind of ripped off, and I am just, you know, felt like we wasted a few months of what they were doing. But I'm sure we'll review it and we'll go into more detail of stuff. But overall, it was really, really interesting stuff. It is, you know. And I got to ask you a question, Tim. AEW, is it it's like, you know, I'm curious on how they're going to perform. I'm curious on how what they're going to do. But it almost feels like they're trying to check all their boxes. Like I was reading the Tony Khan interview, and, you know, he's a big Mid-South fan and Memphis fan. And he says it holds up. And then you have the Young Bucks and Cody, who are anything but Mid-South wrestling. Hitting other boxes. Does it feel like they're double down? Do you feel like they're covering their own bases in a way? Or do you think this is like, it feels like, yeah, we're trying to get the hardcores on our fan. You know, we're getting the old school guys, and we're also trying to get the new wave Bullet Club groups, types on board. Do you think that can mesh a long term, or do you think it, you think it could blow up in their face?
I mean, I think it could easily blow up in their face. I do think it could also mesh, but it does.
Yeah.
It does feel, I talked about it in the strength of the promotion in the past, when you have the different minds doing the different things. It needs to all be in balance and kept in check. That's the real deciding factor.
And if they have a strong one leader, one voice in a way. I mean, it's great to get other voices, but one person needs to be able to make the right, make the decision.
You need checks and balances in a way for, you know, decisions and stuff, but you also do need the final say if you come to an impasse. Tony Khan being the final say, I don't know if that's the case, but it feels like people are trying to argue that it is because he's the smart businessman of the group or whatever. But again, I say that
he's the money man. He's the, I guess, the numbers man in a way.
Right, but we don't have any proof of him not being, you know, having that same kind of rigor and stick-to-itness to making the correct decisions in a wrestling context. I mean, wrestling is a weird business. People can say that football, they make so much more money, so they must be better at they would be able to pull off wrestling super well, but that means nothing, honestly. I mean, there's plenty of people who do good in plenty of other businesses that don't do well in wrestling. It's just how the business works.
I was reading The Observer the other day. I loved how Dave mentioned how all the new people in their office have all subscribed to The Observer, so that should help them with knowing the bumps and stuff in the wrestling business. I got a chuckle out of that.
Good God damn.
That's pretty arrogant, honestly.
Right. I mean, to write that in your own fucking newsletter, it's wild, man. That's crazy. But it speaks to the same kind of, like, it's just a vanity thing. Like, we talked about it kind of with the way that The Observer is presented. But, I mean, that's like, that is really just like fan service more than anything as well. Like, it obviously shows a hubris that Dave may not even know that he has, but it also shows a fan service to be like, you're saying that to the people that are reading The Observer. So what you're basically saying to them is you're just as smart as them too. I bet you could run your own wrestling company. You'd be real good at it because you know all about wrestling. That's why you read this. And it's just like, Jesus Christ, man. But I mean, then there's also people talking about their like hedging stuff. They're coming out a little bit too obvious, trying to give people kudos and credit for stuff, saying stuff like, I think I heard someone saying like the Sunny Kiss was that's an Omega signee, you know, that's someone, and trying to give like Omega credit for picking out certain talent when it was supposed to be the singles division was being, you know, the top of the card was being booked and put together by Cody. So it feels like they're trying to serve all the masters and try to kind of like have a bunch of different niches filled by the different people. You got the Young Bucks. Oh, the Young Bucks take care of the tag teams, and Brandy's taking care of the women, and you know, Cody's got the top of the card heavyweights, but you know, Kenny also is looking for talent. Just to me, it just feels like you're trying to let it be everything to everyone, and I think that the Young Bucks, Kenny Omega, have done a good job with their fans and having them feel like they're 100% genuine and authentic when they're really not. It's just the truth. I mean, there's no way that's not a value judgment. That's not a attack on character of any of the people involved. It's just the facts. I mean, Kenny Omega has openly worked, you know, newsletters. He's openly worked shoot interviews. He's openly worked, you know, companies against each other, all this stuff. And as a fan to say, well, everything he says, I just believe that that's the authentic him. And unfortunately, it's just not, and that's not a bad thing. He's a businessman. He's working a business that's involved around entertaining people with some stuff that's not 100% true, and that's okay. You shouldn't expect it, but I think that the issue comes when you start doing this too much, and there's too many cooks in the kitchen, there's too many chances for things to contradict each other, that's when that veneer of everyone being like, well, Cody Rhodes just loves wrestling from when his dad was a wrestler, and he just remembers, you know, being such a big fan of his dad, so he loves that old school NWA, and so I can get that from Cody. But then when you start to see what's getting booked in the company, you'll start to really, you know, I think that foundation will get shaky. You get the Young Bucks. Oh, the Young Bucks, they're just like us, and they, you know, they say hi to me when they sign my shirts and all this, so we're friends. And then when you start seeing more and more pictures of people posting pictures of themselves hanging out in front of private jets, it really makes you start to say, oh wait, they're not just like me, you know. And that's not a problem. I think wrestlers should be stars, but I don't think you can have your cake and eat it too when it comes to some of this stuff, unfortunately. So you gotta really they're gonna need to uniform what they send out there a little bit more, because like you said, I think that the issue isn't necessarily that you can't have, just like Pizza Party Wrestling we talked about earlier, can have the big tent, big circus, you know, three-ring circus for something for everybody. I think you can have that, but I think it's hard to have the same people presenting you as if they're all different parts of the same business. You know what I mean? They all need to have their part and make it very clear what they are, so that people can still buy into it as being genuine, because you're going to start having contradictions. And I think that the goodwill will start to subside when more and more contradictions come out a little bit too glaringly.
Yeah, it came out that I didn't realize this, but I guess I've been involved in some bulk buys with the cons before on footage and stuff.
Oh, really?
So they go way back, I guess. Yeah. I mean, I just never knew, all knew who the hell was in it, because I'm just bulk buying with people. But yeah, I've been told. Yeah, I found that out this weekend. And,
okay, so you have to recuse yourself from talking about AWE from now on, because you have a personal.
Exactly. They were part of my
consortium.
Disc growing. My habit. The other thing I find that I think could be interesting is right now all AEW has really had is successes so far. I'm waiting to see eventually when everything happens. You're in life even. You have successes. You're gonna have your share of failures. So I want to see how they handle their first failure. Be it not drawing a house, not being able to do this or what have you, and see how they handle it. That's I think that's the real medal of a company or a person, is how you handle adversity. Wow. And so let's see how they handle something that hasn't been everything's been successful for all these guys for especially since they've been ever since they've been together as a crew. So I'm kind of curious, more interested, and eventually they're going to have a failure on the books and see how they handle that, you know?
Well, I mean, the thing is as promoters, he's not the only one, but Kenny Omega taking credit for promoting that big video game convention show that was New Japan branded, that had the issues with the New Vision Dojo, and especially, you know, Chase and Rance being on the show. And I don't think that Kenny dealt with that super well on the social media PR side of things. So I think, unfortunately, that already shows that they, hopefully, in a better setting where you have a real PR company and management behind it, stopping you from just popping off at the mouth on Twitter with every stupid thing you want to say, they'll have a little bit of better look. But when Kenny Omega was getting questioned about a shaky business practice, he didn't respond, I would say, in the best way. And something bigger, similar situation happening on a bigger scale could be death. I mean, people still to this day boycott brands based solely on one mistake. Brands, actors, movies, companies, everything. If someone does something
Michael
one
Elgin
time.
Is a prime example.
Yeah. I mean, one thing, and that can be it. Some people will write you off forever and never give you a chance to change.
Very true. Oh yeah, a couple other things on my trip. I was told I was the best fan at the shows. That crushed Johnny P because he wanted that title. He didn't get it. So sorry, buddy. Maybe next time. And there was this great spot I was watching at the action shows. And so we're on the car ride home. I go, man, this if you guys don't do this in the Rumble, I'm gonna be so disappointed. And the Booker kayfabe me, didn't tell me at all that they had already booked that spot, and they did, and it got over well. So I was like, right when his music played, I'm like, oh god, they are gonna play this spot because no one else had music.
Nice.
And it got over pretty good. Yeah, so that was great. So hey, why don't we get into the shows that we're gonna review today, and we open up with NXT. UK. God, I don't hate the show. I don't think it was a particularly bad show. It was just a bunch of wrestling, and it wouldn't be bad if this was like a house show, but it's a television program, so it felt very stand. I mean, they did it for the Rumble, so this is not even in the UK, right?
Yeah, this was, I guess, recorded during the Rumble weekend or whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're in America. The building
and
definitely
the
doesn't have
the
same look.
The show.
Crowd is extra dead, but the crowd hasn't been hot, even as hot on the UK shows. They've been good. They play their role, but there's a certain element of, this is a weird thing to say about a crowd, but like an authenticity of actually giving a shit. They hit their spots, and they're live for when the show starts up and certain things. But
yeah, and they did the you know,
right? But they don't feel like they're invested. But then this crowd, I mean, even more so.
Yeah, it was pretty rough. And I mean, the wrestling wasn't bad. It would be solid if this was like the undercard of a show, but it just felt just there and felt we were along for the ride. And after the opening angle of the show, it was just straight wrestling.
Yeah, and I found it interesting because I heard some other people talking about, and I can't remember what podcast it was, but the idea that they're bringing in more of the American US NXT guys onto the shows and all this, but it's, you have to remember that this was recorded when they were in America, so it's not that they're bringing more and more of the American NXT stars over to NXT UK, it's that they happen to be at Rumble Weekend where they were there. So I don't know that that's necessarily a sign that that's going to continue to be a big part of the show.
I agree. And then it seems like Barcel and Aichner are going to be on NXT proper and not on NXT UK.
Feels like a mistake to me, honestly, but also at the same time, it might work out just because they felt more solid on NXT UK and on NXT, the American, they felt more like a novelty act.
Yeah, the American TV on the regular NXT, they're kind of just there, and but they actually felt important on the NXT UK show, and but it doesn't really matter. So I don't know where they're going with it.
I mean, the other side of it is I did mention that on NXT. I was saying on the other side of it though is that I did mention on the NXT UK that it didn't make sense because they were ready to challenge and there's a heel tag team champions. And their heels, but at the same time, they felt like they made more sense on NXT UK as an act. So, you know, there is that trade off, but
And we open up with Toni Storm promoing, and then Rhea Ripley is out, and she's cutting a promo on Toni Storm, and what we get is a fight that engages, an okay piece of business. But this was the only angle on the show, pretty much. I mean, I guess if you count the Noam Dar and what's his name, Travis Banks interfering, I really don't. But yeah, this is the only one that really felt like a true angle. What do you think?
Yeah, and I thought it was pretty good. I think Tony is improving on the mic, and Rhea just has it, I think.
Yeah,
Rhea, I've loved Rhea in the ring, but I think, you know, and a big part of it is her character work. But I think that outside of the ring, she's continuing to really turn into a star. And I hope that the reason why they took the belt off of her is because they plan on moving her up relatively quickly, because I think she could breathe a lot of life into really any women's division.
Yeah,
because there's no other act that comes close to her. I mean, the closest thing you could say is like a Nia Jax being like a big badass. But I think that Ripley comes across a lot more with a harder edge and a lot more dangerous.
Okay. I agree. No, yeah, Ripley, I think, has been the breakout of the UK female scene.
Yeah, for sure.
Then we get Noam Dar versus Jordan Devlin. You know, I thought this was a good, solid match. Nothing wrong with it. But it was just there. It was good. But I don't think it did anyone any good. What about you?
Yeah, and I couldn't tell. It felt like Dar was a little heelish. He was a heel really the last time we were seeing him.
Yeah.
He comes out here, doesn't really work like a babyface. I think Banks or Devlin has been the best heel in NXT UK, really. So having him in here against another heel and not really getting a chance to shine in that regard hurts. They hit a lot of cool spots. And then you have what should be a plucky underdog babyface that everyone gets behind, Travis Banks, coming out, sticking his nose in the business of two other heels and really just like getting involved and fucking around with it in a way that doesn't really lend sympathy to him as a babyface. So I think overall, you say that it was just there, but I think overall it really just muddies the waters and in a subtle way damages all three acts involved, because it makes it unclear how you're supposed to feel about them. So I think that in some ways it was just a match, but in other ways the booking kind of hurts all three acts coming out of it.
Exactly. I'm with you there. Then we get Ginny versus Mia Yim. I thought it was a really fun match. Thought they had good chemistry together, and I would like to see them have more feuds, but I feel this is like a one-off for Mia. What did you think?
Yeah, I thought that they looked good together. I think it continues down the path that I'm talking about of Ginny being able to show a stiffer upper lip in her in-ring. I think Mia Yim is a great girl for her to show that off against, because Mia Yim is 100% believable as a badass ass-kicker. Has been for years. Everything she does looks tough. She looks tough. So having these two go at it was great. I loved the little note. I thought it was weird. I'm like, why is Mia Yim doing the tarantula? But then I'm like, oh, you know, she is, you know, the blazing baddie. She is, you know, part Asian. And, you know, Tajiri did the tarantula. So I was like, oh, that's kind of a cute little nod to her heritage in a way. You know, no one else is doing the move. So it kind of worked for me in that moment when I thought about it. Because initially I was like, why is she doing that? And then I was like, oh, I guess I can see the connection there. That works. So I thought it was a good fight. Made Ginny look great. And she gets the win with the feet on the ropes, which is, I think, good for her character, but over kind of hurt by the fact that you just had Devlin using the feet on the ropes in the match before. So maybe not have those back to back, even though Devlin didn't win with it. I don't think you should be using the same spots back to back, but it does work for her character.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right about that. Cause you know, it's, why should it work for one person, not the other person?
Well, and it's quality control. I don't want to see the same thing over and over again, you know?
Exactly. No. Yeah. Yeah, I'm totally with you. Then we get Pete Dunne versus Wolfgang. You know, I enjoyed this, okay? But it's like, I'm done with this. I've seen Dunne work so many people at this point where it just feels like he needs a step back or something, or freshen up almost. I like that Wolfgang's stall led to an elbow and his heat. Love Dunne aiming at the limbs. I thought we got a fun finish, or that finish, which we should give every now and then, but people never really do when they catch somebody with a flying armbar in a way. But overall, it's a good match. It just didn't pop out to me because it's kind of, you've been there, done that type of thing. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, I think you could freshen up Dunne a lot with a heel turn, like a real 100% heel turn, I think is what we really need. Clearly there's an initiative they're moving forward with Gallus. I think aligning the Coffee Brothers as a tag team and maybe realigning to Wolfgang being maybe the standout or the singles of the group again, which is kind of felt like was what would have made sense in the beginning. And honestly, in a way, I think it was actually smart to do it this way because you established Coffee as something important. So he'll stand out in a tag team with his brother still as an important guy. But then you can get the team over a little bit more because they talked about next week for the first time the Coffee Brothers are tagging. They said before the match, and then the match starts and it's Wolfgang as a single. So it feels like that all that kind of makes sense. But yeah, Dunne, I mean, I was thinking about it, and in the context of NXT UK being like maybe like a Superstars, you know, like a show where you kind of get mostly jobber squash type matches that are just putting over the stars who then move on. If that was kind of the way that Dunne is treated, I could see him continuing to have this title for a very long time, where on NXT UK he's like a big star who's on the, you know, the Saturday morning jobber show, and then he shows up at the big shows, the big pay-per-views, the NXT takeovers, stuff like that, to have the big matches that are exciting. It almost kind of feels like a weird new version of that system where you have the jobber shows and then you have the big shows where the big stars finally wrestle each other. And I think you could kind of get away with doing more and more of that if they do continue to have more like big time, you know, more NXT kind of sub brands in different countries. So it would be interesting to see if that's the way that they're going. And I wouldn't be shocked with Dunne because he really is the face of the company. I mean, they talk about how well he's known all over England, and he really kind of is. So the idea that he's the big star of Europe, and then, you know, he's the top guy there, and then he shows up on the bigger WWE shows to have feature matches against other big stars from WWE main roster, doesn't seem that insane if you really think about it in that context. But they do need to do something to freshen him up, I think, for people who are not just the European crowd who think that this, you know, are eating this up because he's their big hometown star. So we'll see what they continue to do moving forward with him. But I was like, huh, is that going to kind of be the idea of what they do moving forward? And it doesn't seem like a terrible way. It's like, he's instantly a star. He shows up every now and then. He's primarily in Europe, but he shows up for the big shows in other places. And, you know, you can talk him over about all the, you know, how great he is in Europe. So when he shows up here, he kind of feels important and stands out in his own special way.
I can see that. I can totally see that. But it just seems like, yeah, I'm with you, but they need to do something with him. Because his character, even though he's over, he's still shit. God, is he stale.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost shocking how stale him and I mean, how still Pete Dunne is after, you know, after the UK tournament. Really like he could do no wrong. And now we're on NXT and opens up with Dijakovic versus Shane Thorne. Thorne now is a total babyface. And I did you see a babyface turn at all? I mean, I missed a couple shows. Did they do one?
No, I actually kept up and watched everything, and this is the first time that I've seen him since Mikey Nicholls left. So no, there's no.
Okay,
there's no
so Mikey Nicholls is gone, and they were a good heel team, and now Shane's a babyface. Gosh, that's just wasted. I think that just sucks. I thought the Dijakovic corkscrew plancher from a guy his size was pretty phenomenal. You know, Dijakovic is going to have problems trying to stand out, I think. Even with a guy his size, and he's a pretty good looking guy. But I mean, I didn't really feel anything emotion here, and I didn't really care. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, so it felt like commentary was trying to not really retcon, but try to like smooth over the idea of why Haste is a babyface now. Or I don't even know if he really is a babyface, because the commentary says like he does whatever it takes and he doesn't care what the crowd thinks. But then in the match, he doesn't really do anything heelish. But then when you talk about, you know, Dijakovic, he feels like a real easy to understand guy for them. Big destroyer. He does some cool stuff. Just let him do his thing. But I don't know. Like, am I crazy that, like, pushing him as Croatian, is that something that people care about? I don't know that, like,
I don't think people give a flying shit about that. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know that, it means anything. Nothing. Like, so what are you giving me here?
Yeah, I feel people don't understand the character at all.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't really understand what I'm supposed to think of this guy. You're not giving me much. Like you said, it's confusing because you got a heel here who doesn't really work like a heel in the match. And I think Dijakovic should probably just be a babyface. I've been saying it since the ROH days with Dijakovic. But I think that he's a really good babyface for a guy his size and could get over that way in a way that stands out. And they should just go with that. But instead, we get this. And he does some cool spots, but I don't see how we, like, get invested in him, really.
And then we get the Undisputed Era segment. I enjoyed this. I like these guys' chemistry, and it seems like they are now going in the direction of Roddy Strong going singles, and they're going to put Fish and O'Reilly back together. I mean, I hate to say it. I think Fish and O'Reilly might have a problem trying to follow the O'Reilly-Strong tag team, because that was a great tag team. But I'm interested in seeing where they're going with this. What did you make of it?
Yeah, I really liked this too, and I couldn't really completely put my finger on exactly why, but I thought the dynamic was really smooth. I thought that all four guys felt like authentic and worked, and I am excited to see what they do moving forward with Roddy as a singles here.
Yeah. Then we get Kairi Sane. How do you say the other girl's name? Because I've never got it right.
Kairi Sane and her
Kairi Sarai. And they're both saying how they want to be the next champ. And then Bianca enters the fray and says, "No, I'm undefeated." I thought overall the segment was good, but they're clearly teasing a heel turn between one of the Asian women, right?
Yeah, and I would hope that, like I've said, it's going to be Io turning heel, but we'll see where they go. But yeah, hopefully that's the spot. And Bianca coming in here, it was not a good look to put this in here. I mean, her talking about being undefeated or whatever, and we've seen her lose just on the takeover. And the commentary has to try to cover up for that right afterwards, mentioning something that she's no longer undefeated. And it's just like, yeah, you probably should have just not put that in here, honestly. But, you know, whatever.
Agreed. Then we get Ono's out, and he threatens to quit, and then Lee comes out and KOs him. Hero's just showing a lot of ass lately. I don't know. I really I don't understand the point of using Keith Lee as the fodder for him earlier last year. And now he's doing it himself. So I don't get it. I don't understand what's going on. What's going on? I mean, it just feels like I don't understand why. I don't understand why Ono's just getting his ass beat every step. First Lee does the job for him, and now that feud is out. The Riddle feud's over with, and so now Lee is now getting his wins back. I don't know. I just don't understand where it was all going. What do you think?
Yeah, and I mean, it didn't help. You have Chris Hero talking about leaving, and I'm just, that's confusing. Like, yeah, I just, this whole thing. And you know what? I didn't hate the interaction between the Street Profits and Keith Lee post, like, after this. I thought that was actually good, and I actually kind of liked the Street Profits. I'm liking the Street Profits, honestly, more and more. So, yeah, but the booking and the setup, I didn't quite understand.
I agree, and I'm with you. I'm liking certain segments and stuff. But one of the segments, I liked the Street Profits with the Lee. I liked how they mocked Cassius Ohno, but then it felt like they were working sort of heelish in the match. It felt like the baby faces were getting more shine, were getting more cheer than the shine that the Street Profits felt like they worked more of a they worked more vicious this time around, and maybe it's because they had something to prove, but it really felt like they're on the verge of a heel turn. What are you thinking?
Yeah, it felt
like it was just like a one off, and then they're just gonna put them in limbo, because I can't imagine them winning the titles.
Yeah, I mean it did feel like they're trying to give them more of a hard edge, but it did come across like slightly heelish. So I agree with that.
Yeah, because it felt like, you know, they were beating them up, and it was just odd. Everything about it was odd.
Yeah, and then the post-match stuff I thought was a little, I don't know what the idea is having, you know, all three teams coming out. I hope that it's not the idea is just they're going to do a four-way tag match for the titles on the next show, because that being the first big kind of defense for the War Raiders doesn't seem like the best way to really make them feel important, honestly. Even if they do look really strong coming out of it, it just feels like people are kind of burnt out on that kind of stuff. Even though it's not happening in NXT, I think a lot of fans are burnt out on that kind of stuff because of how much that happens in New Japan now, where it just feels like they just throw together whatever four teams to have a match together. I don't know. I don't know if that'll work.
Then we get a Gargano package. Fine. Then we got Nairi Kante versus Aaliyah. Progress. This is a program that will never be on a takeover. It's a program that will get finished up at a non pay per view. It'll be on one of them just regular house shows. This is a house show program where it really means nothing for the straight machine.
Yeah, and I mean, kind of, I guess the only thing that makes sense is that they're just building women's tag teams because they have a women's tag team division
right. In
the main roster being put together. So I don't hate it for that, but it does feel like just nothing, you know?
Yeah, but then we have, we had the Tenari Kani versus Aaliyah match, but then it gets interrupted by Baszler and four horsewomen, and ends up with Baszler lazing everyone out. So good piece of business. What do you think?
Yeah, it works for me. Baszler obviously continues to look super dominant, which is what she's best at, really. So, it works for me.
And then we get a Velveteen Dream package setting up for his challenge for next week. Well done.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like there's almost no point in even talking about Velveteen Dream stuff anymore, because everything is slick and polished, and he comes across great no matter what. I mean, every time. I really liked the angle with him and Johnny, which I think was on last week's episode that we didn't review. But I really, really enjoyed that because it, to me, I think something I haven't heard people mention is there's a nice undertone because it feels like Dream being smart enough to kind of play them against each other still. So that kind of they don't realize that the reason why he's picking Johnny is because he knows it's going to make Ciampa a little bit jealous.
And then we get the main event of Ricochet and Adam Cole. I really like this. What about you? What do you think there, Timothy?
Yeah, I expected this to be good, but I thought that this was fantastic. Both these guys have a lot of great chemistry with each other, history with each other. I thought that they had what could have been probably a main event for the title in PWG, but it was toned down, not as much crazy, just spot, spot, spot. Good selling, back and forth, great stuff. Really helps legitimize Cole, who I think that in NXT land and in, you know, hardcore wrestling nerddom kind of fandom land, I think he's looked at as a guy who can't go, you know, in ring. But I think that this kind of match helps legitimize him as being a you know, someone who can actually have great work rate kind of matches. But also, like I said, continue with the really good selling from both guys. Really just nice back and forth. Makes the titles feel important because they're not, they're kind of feuding over getting shots at the North American title. Or at least getting back in that contention, maybe getting to the world title contention. I mean, yeah, just really, really great stuff between both guys.
Right. I thought this one was I thought this was NXT was much better than NXT UK. And then the post match, you had Undisputed Era interrupt, and then Aleister Black attempts to save, but Undisputed Era lays out Ricochet. And stuff. Ricochet and Aleister Black, so they have no friends right now, huh? Island to themselves.
Yeah, just Black and Ricochet need some help to even the numbers, maybe. We'll see where they go moving forward.
Yeah, and overall, I thought it was the way better of the two shows. What about you?
Yeah, easily. I mean, even with the Dijakovic stuff that we kind of questioned, this show is, like, so much better.
Agreed. Let me see. You want to read the ad?
Sure. Check out ProWrestlingOnly.com to explore other podcasts, along with match reviews, features and retrospectives, reviews of wrestling books, video games, matches, playlists, wrestlers' appearance in non-wrestling TV shows and movies, and more. You can also join the conversation by signing up for the PWO forums. We've been online for over a decade with over 2,000 registered members and an archive of over 4 million threads. Our message board is a vibrant community all its own. Whether you want to talk about specific matches in our match discussion archive, take a deep dive in the Microscope forum, or discuss more general topics from wrestlers past and present, check out all of this and more at ProWrestlingOnly.com.
Cool. And now, why don't we get into SUP? Southern Underground Pro. I'd call it an interesting card.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I thought that a lot of stuff flew by. I would say there wasn't too much that really stood out as great, great matches.
Right.
But nothing overstayed its welcome, and my only issue would be that, unfortunately, I mean, I feel like it's become a theme on today's episode, but a lot of people feel like they're doing a lot of the same style and a lot of the same stuff, and unfortunately, I don't think, even if you have, like, a scramble match and a mix of tag and all this, a lot of the stuff feels, like, very samey, unfortunately.
And then, okay, we open up with the production versus Commander Man Dan and Mansur. I enjoyed this. It wasn't great. It wasn't bad. It was just there, kind of there, but it was solid. We got an early heat by the production. Dan is facing Imperial. Love the PacSun's references on complacency. I loved the PacSun reference on commentary. Eddie only is slimy as hell. Mansur with that tag, Buckaroo Carino, a little. I'm just, it just, you know, it just matched with the hot tag. I just, the crowd got into it eventually, but it just didn't have it the whole entire time. I give it 2.25. What were your thoughts here?
I gave it 2.5. I'm pretty much with you on most of it. I liked Commander Man Dan selling, obviously, for the heat. The production were good, using kind of a numbers game basis to be what set up their heat, so they really came across slimy, like you talked about, especially with Only. My issue would be just that, you know, Marco Stunt is getting involved with distraction and using his crutch, which I just feel like a real kind of clean babyface team like Stunt and Commander Man Dan shouldn't be doing stuff like that. But I think that Mancer gives him an edge because he's more of a anti-hero kind of guy. So I think that he gives him a little bit of an edge to kind of get away with that. But realistically, I don't think that those two should be doing stuff like that. They're more the clean cut babyface types.
Yeah.
So, yeah, to me, I think that that hurts it a little bit, but it makes sense in the context somewhat. Not a lot of substance, but a quick, fun match to open up the show. Like I said, 2.5. Good action all around.
Then we go, and we get a 6-man scramble. What do you think of this?
Realistically, the only thing that stood out to me was the guy with the bazooka. I've seen him before on a Nova show, but But he didn't really do much when I've seen him before. But here it felt like he showed off a couple quick spots. But otherwise, there wasn't a lot that stood out in the match. And it's kind of a shame because there's a lot of guys in here that I really like. But it felt like a parade of spots was kind of a little bit rushed through with not a lot to get into. I did like using it as a setup for storyline moving down the line with Hawkeye getting the win by stealing the win over Newman here. But I gave the match 2 stars because realistically it was solid, but there wasn't too much to it, and it kind of felt like it was just a stepping stone for the storytelling.
Yeah, I went 2.5. I love the Jay Newman interactions. Newman's personality is really standing out big time. Had some big moves, but you know, it was just kind of there. 2.5. Next up, we have Brixton with versus Hathaway. It was, you know, it was kind of squash. It was they tried to make it get as entertaining as possible, but still squash. What do you think?
Yeah, I gave it 2.25. I thought that Stokely did a good job kind of cutting him off at the start. I like Brixton's selling in that he registered for Stokely, but he didn't oversell for him, which I think could have happened. It really took a lot for Stokely to get advantage on him and a lot of underhanded stuff. Could have done without the pedigree near fall. I think that that's just kind of overdone and lame at this point. Like the locomotive nature of Brixton, gets a relatively quick win, but I gave the match 2.25. I mean, there's not much to it other than Brixton being very over. And I think showing, like I said, a good job of being put into a match like this and not devaluing himself, but also still letting Stokely get something and not just completely steamrolling him the whole time.
And then we have Savannah Stone versus Alley Cat. What'd you make of this?
I really enjoyed it. I thought early on I was questioning the idea was going on. It really felt like there was kind of just a chance for Allie to show off that she's popular and that she can do some spots. But then Stone cuts her off on the dive, starts going over the arm. And I felt like, oh, you know, I've seen Stone. She's young. There's nothing like this is kind of going to be pointless for her to work the heel in the match because I didn't think I was going to be able to buy into it. But then she gets really vicious. She's working over the hand and arm. She's getting in the ref's face. She really starts to just beat the shit out of Allie and really get into the viciousness and the shittiness of her. Allie sells the arm really well throughout. Really liked her. She starts coming back, rolling, selling the arm the whole time, and then uses the arm selling to set up the cutoff as she can't lift up the pile driver. I thought that was a great little wrinkle. I really liked Allie Cat selling on the mat, clawing at the mat like a cat. I thought that that was a nice little touch for something that just, you know, kind of works in the context of her character. I thought that Stone really kind of elevated her stock in the match, looking like she could play a vicious heel. Ends up with Alley Cat getting the win, which is what the crowd wants. You know, so I thought that this worked really well. I gave this 3 stars. I thought that they actually really they really brought it here.
And then I loved it. Savannah Stone, I think, is a girl's 18, 19, Michael Elgin trainee. She has it, and I thought she is one of the better Alley Cat's matches I've seen. Savannah, I thought she was the most over girl live that I saw this weekend, and then getting to see her here and stuff on tape. I mean, she just was great. She has a presence about her. She's great at shit talking. She's just physically working over Alley. Shows Stone desperate, destroying the shoulder. Vicious clothesline. But everything she did was try to work that clothesline. I can see it 3 times. I mean, I can see it. I see it. I give it 3 stars. What did you give it?
3 stars also.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it was just really good. And like, you know, I've had complaints in the past. Like, at the Making Towns where they had Alley in the main event, where some of the gimmick doesn't work in a main event setting. Here she wasn't working main event, but they... Stone is so good at like stooging and stuff for her that she was able to make get over even using some of those questionable tactics. But it was really good stuff. Then we got the Sid Comp versus the Jollyville Fuck Ups or Fuck It's. What do you think of this match?
I thought this was a great mean guy tag team match. Really liked the opening with Sad Comp getting the kind of control over Russ, only to have T-Money kind of equal the sides by being the big, you know, badass. Huge dive to the floor from T-Money after that. And that's when it turns into just a mean street fight. They're brawling all around the building. They're just going to town. Commentary's talking like, is this a tornado tag? It feels like just out of control. And there's a lot of settings where stuff like that can feel really bad, like you're just shitting on the tag rules, but this really felt like it made sense, and the referee's not going to call it because he knows all 4 men are just in to stand and bang, so it makes sense that on the fly, they're just like, fuck it, these guys are going to, this is what's going to happen, and what am I going to do, just throw out the match and piss everybody off and piss them off? Fuck it, just let them go.
Well, they gave it a stiff where they allowed you to do it.
Did they? Because the commentary to me felt like they were questioning if it was tornado tag or not, but it was officially tornado tag.
I heard they said it was the jolly Jacksonville fuck up rules.
Fuck it rules. Okay, so that makes sense. I thought that this was great. I gave it 3.5. It was quick. It was action packed. It was just fucking brutal. Finish was nice. Yep. I really enjoyed them. You know, they take the fight. They take T-Money out with total elimination, so that he's still protected because it took the double team and he doesn't take the pin, and then Russ gets put, you know, killed dead with their kind of finishing rush. Just I thought that this was fantastic showing by both teams to just get over as like mean ass kickers.
I agree. I gave it 3.5, and I liked it for everything you liked it for, which was the wild brawling around and the fighting and the stiff shots, a total sprint. And it played to both teams' strengths, and that's what you need to be aiming for. Then we got O'Shea Edwards versus Dr. Dan Rockingham. I didn't give this a star rating, but I enjoyed Dan on the mic getting heat. But this is just Edwards pretty much walking tall, kicking ass, and really just it was almost like a total annihilation squash. I think it was all the purpose was to put gasoline on O'Shea's babyface run, by gasoline, by making it hotter. What did you think of it?
Yeah, I gave it 2.25, and I see it the same way you did. It felt like I was kind of questioning O'Shea's babyface turn. I said I don't like a babyface turn where all that happens is a heel beats you up. But,
yeah.
I mean, there is the thing that crowds like badasses who win, and O'Shea has been presented as a badass who wins, so even as a heel, I think the crowd was into him, and when he comes out, the crowd is definitely into him. He's over as fuck as a babyface, and he beats the shit out of Dan, and really just continues to be over. So, to me, it worked. I mean, I think that this match probably was booked because maybe other people saw it the same way I did. They thought that it would be a little bit shaky to have O'Shea just being a babyface without really much to it, but I think that once he came out and how much the crowd was into him, it was almost like you didn't need this match. He already was as over as he needed, and you could have had something else here, but it works because it does continue to get him over moving forward.
Yeah, and then they had Craig Mitchell versus Stab, and it really isn't Stab. It's which I thought was funny. They revealed it to be Rockin' Rivera, to like no reaction. So the angle kind of farted in church. But I thought it was a fun fight. I gave it 2.5. Where did you fall under this?
2.75. I don't know the back storyline of Stab and all this, so that was a little confusing for me. But I thought that they
got the gimmick they use, and the gimmick is it's a gimmick, but Rivera is Craig Mitchell's travel partner. So right. So it was weird.
Yeah, to me, I didn't know that, but commentary is working overtime trying to get the story over, and to me, the story just feels a little bit convoluted in that regard at how hard they're working to try to present what the fuck is going on here. But
and no one gave a shit on the reveal.
Right, and because Rivera has been over once before in kind of a scramble match setting or a trios or something, so he's not anybody that they know, and I don't think that necessarily there's a big connection between him and Mitchell that people in this sub crowd are going to get into. But that said, I think that they did a great job in ring getting over the idea that this is a grudge match fight situation. Craig Mitchell is insanely aggressive, super crisp. All of his stuff looks really good. Rockin' gets a couple key spots here and there, but mostly Craig just kind of kicks the shit out of him, beats him with an Emerald Flosion off the top, which is awesome. So, yeah, 3.75 for me. I think it just misses that mark of being great, but it was really solid work. And I'm starting to get high on Craig Mitchell. I mean, I'm starting to think, I talked about it, but you know, more and more guys from the indies are getting snapped up and guys are going to have to step up and take those spots. And Mitchell feels like a guy who's poised to start taking some of those higher profile bookings. Because
you like this match more than me, but I'm with you. I think Mitchell has a lot of upside.
Yeah.
I give it 2.5.
Yeah.
And I think maybe it was because that was a fun fight. And maybe I just couldn't get over the reaction he got when he did the Stab reveal where like no one gave a shit.
Right.
Then we got Jake Parnell versus Teddy King. This is, I guess, essentially Teddy King's retirement match. I liked what they did here. I thought it was a fun brawl. We get a screw job finish. I liked the post-match where Teddy King, and I forget the other guy's name, but pretty much they make Jaden Newman the water boy, and he's, like, last on the team. But it's just, I don't know, it didn't translate as well. I mean, I thought the angle played out really well. I was curious. I'm really curious on how it would go because if Jaden Newman was going to end up having to be a babyface, I have a problem. Not a problem, but I just don't know if he can pull it off because he's a natural heel. But I mean, maybe they could have pulled it off in SUP. I'm not sure. But we won't ever know going forward because Teddy King, who I always thought was a good solid hand in the ring, could work anywhere on the card, quit. And quit with no really notice. I think that's the worst. I mean, I understand if you're a wrestler and you want to quit, but I always believe you should call. You should at least give your notice and finish out your dates that you've committed to. I think it's just bad form. But I give that 2.75. What'd you make of it, man?
Oh, I didn't realize that King retired. Now I feel bad because you had mentioned Newman was on the action show, and I was like, oh yeah, I had mentioned to Matt that I thought that Teddy King and Newman were a really good tag team, and then seeing that they were getting booked in action, and then now I find out that that's one of the fuckers that backed out on him. Because I know that Ike Cross also, didn't he just recently basically retire as well? So you got two guys stepping away at a time.
Yeah, both their shows, yeah.
Yeah, and stepping away at a time where both guys had nothing but upside, you know, with the landscape of wrestling in the independent level opening up. I thought both guys were really good, especially King here, and this match looked pretty good. I mean,
I'll say one other thing. At the SCI Rumble, Jaden Newman was number one, so I have a feeling Teddy King was going to be that number one slot there. And Jaden, and to his credit, Jaden had a great number one. The first one in the ring performance and had a good weekend. But yeah, it blew up both guys' plans and stuff.
Right. And I mean, hey, you know what? Newman going forward still is good. I said that they were good as a tag team. I stick by that, but I will say this. Newman still has a lot of talent. and is a guy that should continue to get bookings, and you know that connection.
Yeah, when we review the action show, you'll see him and Kane together, and they're really good. So, I mean, that's a tag team that could be I would book on shows, and they can make it matter. What do you think of the match, though?
Yeah, I mean, this is one of the matches where, like I said, it feels a lot of stuff feels kind of samey, and Teddy King kind of stands out for being the most kind of old school shitty heel who isn't trying to just go, you know, look like a badass, have a bunch of spot. Because there's a lot of stuff on this show really felt like hard hitting tough guy fights, which gets over, but there wasn't a lot of character, you know, there wasn't necessarily a lot of storytelling in the matches. But then the other issue with this is that while that was good, there was a lot of stuff that was a little bit convoluted. I mean, I hate to say this because it feels shitty, but to me, Jake Parnell starting out the match by drinking a beer to like get over with the crowd and spitting, I mean, that feels a little cheap. I hate to say that, but it does. It feels like a cheap way to get over with a crowd like this, to be like, cheap, I'm just like you guys, I drink. It's like it's cheap heat for a babyface, you know? It's like, yeah. So, you know, I thought King looked like he was looking for some leg work. He gets cut off here and there, so I thought, you know, that was kind of good. He's shitty. I thought that it didn't really make sense that in the end Jake looked like he was chomping at the bit to get his hands on Newman, when it really felt like King was set up as the top guy of the stable and he's in the match with King. So why is he wanting so badly to get his hands on Newman? That didn't really make sense to me. Newman's kind of the young boy. It shouldn't be as exciting for him to get his hands on him. But then you do have Hawkeye come out. So it does kind of help to set up that dynamic to where Hawkeye can now kind of be the top guy. So while all that stuff was a little convoluted and confusing, I think you exit out of the angle with it kind of making sense. But then knowing that now Teddy King is gone, that really hurts moving forward with anything. I gave this 2 3/4 too. It was a lot of that convolutedness and a lot of that mix-up stuff with the ref bump. And there's moments where the ref is just flat-out watching interference and not doing anything about it. And then he gets bumped afterwards. A lot of that stuff just kind of irks my enjoyment of the match, where a lot of stuff feels like you're doing it and you're not necessarily doing it poorly, but why are you doing it? And why are you kind of not paying attention to little details? Like I said, with the referee shouldn't be watching interference if you're then going to have him get bumped a second later and then get dragged around and just count the three count. It feels like the match is just a little bit sloppy when it comes to continuity and psychology, unfortunately.
Fair enough. And then we get to the main event, Brett Eisen versus Nick Gage. What do you think of this?
I thought it was a real good brawl. I think that Nick Gage it's funny, this was the thing that popped in my head, and it's not, you know, the only person who's ever done this, but it was just what popped in my head as the comparison, is it reminded me of kind of Rob Van Dam style match, but instead of cool athletic flips, he just hits him with, you know, cookie sheets and chairs. But, I mean, all Gage really does is he hits him with a weapon, plays to the crowd, you know, stands around talking about how badass he is, hits him with another weapon, plays to the crowd, and it's like, god damn, like that's the Rob Van Dam, but instead of, you know, doing a spinning leg drop, he's just hitting him with a cookie sheet. But it is that same, but he's fucking over. I mean, the crowd buys into him. He's just, you know, he's MDK. He's the fucking leader of the fucking, you know, the gang.
Fucking Gage. Yep.
Yeah, so, I mean, it works. The crowd loves him. He feels dangerous. He feels, you know, violent. I think Eisen maybe let Gage have too much. He really sold a little bit too much, I think, but you know, it's kind of tough because it's Nick, and I think that Nicky is going to want to, you know, have a lot of shine. Eisen gets a couple good-looking big spots, but unfortunately, I think that plus the way that the finish went, not just the kickout that the crowd didn't buy into, the last-second kickout, but also the fact that the praying mantis bomb looked a little off from the camera angle that we got. It didn't look like super vicious, like he hit it super well. I think it really hurt Eisen in the end that he had a match where he kind of got his ass kicked the whole time and then kind of looks like he won in a fluke. So realistically, it doesn't really help him as the champion. That said, I really enjoyed the match. I really thought that they did a good job of beating the shit out of each other. I gave the match 3 stars. I thought that they really brought it. It really felt like a fight. I think Gage is super over. There's no way to argue with how over Gage is. But I think that it doesn't help your champion coming out of this match looking the way that Eisen does.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed it. I gave it 3.5. I thought it was kind of what you expected, which was a good, fun, wild brawl. I heard some people say they were expecting so much, and I just think you got to get what you get. I think they worked just where they needed to be, which is big punches, big strikes, and brawl, a lot of brawling. What do you end up giving it?
3 stars.
Okay, I can see that. I ended up with 3.5. I liked it a little bit more. It might be because it was just what I expected, and it wasn't like I was shocked when I saw it or what have you.
Yeah, and I can't blame you. And maybe looking at it now, the thing is that if this felt like a setup for then what would end up being like a death match, I think that would be the big payoff for them, where they could do the kind of more with violence and blood and glass and fire or whatever. I think that would be good. But this felt like it didn't feel like a setup match for them moving forward.
I think it was a setup match in the sense where it's a setup match for Eisen and O'Shea.
Yeah.
Where I think that's what they're really building to.
Definitely.
Nick Cage was just a transition. Overall, I'm going to give it a thumbs up, leaning toward the thumbs up. Where I thought everything was solid. I just didn't get anything that like hooked me in that I had a miss. But I thought it was a good show. What about you?
Very, very much the same. A lot of stuff that I really enjoyed, but had little irksome stuff that would bring it down a notch from being great. But a lot of really good stuff. Everything flies by. Nothing overstays its welcome at all. So it's really easy to watch. And it's simple. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but I mean it in like an easy to understand, straightforward wrestling show that you don't have to know a lot. And I think that this, you know, kind of, I won't say it sounds bad, but this might kind of be confusing to some people. But I think that like the issues came from when they tried to do a little bit too much and stuff got muddled. Like the stuff, like I said, with Stab, the kind of overbooking stuff with the Teddy King thing. Those were the issues. But when they were doing just straight up wrestling and just having straight up matches and fights, it was really good.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. Tim, anything you want to plug?
No, just follow me on Twitter at Lucha Undead.
Follow me on Twitter at Tight as O Wrestling. Have a great week, everybody.